to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, September 19th, 2021, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
People were at high alert and high anxiety. If that sounds familiar to you, I'm actually talking about the year 571. During the last gasp of the Roman Empire, when there was all that going on, there was the actual literal Visigoths pillaging Rome. there was a pandemic going on. And there was this sense of just life out of control. In response, there were lots of different things. People were sort of arming themselves, sort of forming little sort of pockets of armed troops that later became the warrior chieftains of the early Middle Ages. But a young man had a different response to that situation. His name was Benedict. And he looked at the world out of control and decided that he wanted to just give up for a while. So he became a hermit for about 3 years, lived by himself in a cave. And as he prayed by himself, he came to the conclusion that living alone was not the answer. And so he began to form a community of like-minded people who were looking to return to a life of simplicity and faithfulness and holiness. It was the beginning of what we know today as the monastic movement. Saint Benedict, the founder of a whole line of monks and nuns calling themselves Benedictines, they still exist today. There are Benedictine Episcopalian monks in a couple of places around the country, monks and nuns, who live that life of austerity and simplicity and community. Benedict's response was to go back to the basics. And he created a way of living called the Rule of Saint Benedict. We don't like the word rule, but it was basically a guidebook for how to live, how his monks and nuns should live in community. And it was full of very ordinary, basic stuff like clean up after yourselves, share the labor. Over time, the pattern of Benedictine life came to be known, as John reminded me this morning, as ora et labora, prayer and work. And the Benedictine day then and now was divided into times of prayer and times of work and times of rest and refreshment. That rhythm, that balance, that simplicity is, I gotta say, deeply appealing to me as I feel the world often spinning out of control. There's great wisdom in that simplicity. It's the wisdom that our scriptures are talking about today, because those same stresses that existed in 571 also existed at the time of Proverbs and the time of James and Jesus and the time that we live in today. Generation after generation, the world bombards us with all kinds of craziness. We get overwhelmed. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love my technology. I have my Apple Watch and my iPad and my iPhone and my computer, and all of those devices shout at me constantly. They tap me on the wrist. They ping at me, telling me a new crisis has just arisen. Quick, panic. There's a new crisis, one after another. Or sometimes it's just good stuff. You might want to buy this thing, right? This is the latest, greatest thing that you should buy. All of that just sweeps me into this constant mode of kind of anxiety. That's the only word I can use. This constant state of feeling unsettled and not sure where to turn. And so I listen to these scriptures and I think about this deep yearning I have to find simplicity. I think it is the antidote to so much of the craziness of life. It's not something new. It's been going on since the beginning of time, and yet I do think the world in some ways keeps accelerating. James is writing to a community that is struggling to find wisdom. James is frustrated by what he sees as the gap between the way the church should be and the way it actually is. And he talks about our human sinfulness, our desire for envy and selfish ambition. You know, ambition is good, but selfish ambition, ambition which takes over our lives and dominates us, throws us out of balance and makes our life not worth living. Simplicity is the secret to find wisdom in the ordinary things of life. And Jesus, walking with his disciples, you know, I often think if I were one of the disciples and I got to spend 3 years just hanging out with Jesus, listening to Jesus, watching Jesus, I would be the holiest person in the world. Don't you think so? I mean, gosh, how privileged those disciples were. And yet it turns out the disciples were still just like us. Hearing what Jesus was saying, they were arguing about who was the greatest, which of the 12 would be number one, and on down the line. They were still subject, despite their time with Jesus, to envy and selfish ambition. Their lives felt out of control, just like ours do. They needed to be taught a lesson. And so Jesus says, hey, let me bring, and I love this, on the first Sunday of Sunday school, he brought a child into their midst and said, if you can't welcome this child, you are not welcoming me. If you can't welcome this child with all of its innocence and simplicity and powerlessness, you're not welcoming God, the one who sent me. To welcome God is to welcome the children, even when they make noise, especially because that is their life, right? That is who we are as God's people, welcoming all of God's children. There is a modern rule of Saint Benedict. You might have read it some years ago. It was not exactly written for monks and nuns, but written for the rest of us. It was called Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. You remember that book? Robert Fulghum. He took a life that seemed crazy and he said, you know, if we really think about it, we make as adults life so complicated, but really life is simple. Think back to the lessons that you learned either from your parents or your kindergarten teacher. I remember vividly my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Werner. Mrs. Werner was a saint. She had had a full career as a public school teacher. She retired, and then she came back to help start an Episcopal elementary school at my parish in Los Angeles. She led all kinds of activities. She taught kindergarten. She also ran all kinds of programs for the kids. She was amazing. And I still remember the things I learned from her, but mostly I learned that she loved me and cared about me and that my life was important to her. That's the gift that the greatest teachers know, that you can't teach unless there is first love. No information can be imparted unless there is a relationship. Well, anyway, Fulghum writes in his wonderful Rule of Saint Benedict for the 20th century that life really is simple, right? That lessons that we need to live a simple life are these. When you make a mess, clean up after yourself. When you go out into the world, hold hands and make sure that you look both ways. And my favorite one is make sure every day to have milk and cookies and take a nap. Let's imagine a world where all of us every day have milk and cookies, unless you're lactose intolerant, you can can substitute your own beverage, milk and cookies, and take a nap. What if we could have and find the simplicity that makes for a life of real contentment and happiness and joy? That's what our scriptures are pointing us toward. We make life complicated because of the incessant need of our egos. But if we can tune that out and recover our groundedness in God, if we can welcome the child within us as well as the child in our midst, maybe we can recover a sense of balance, a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose and hope, even in the darkest time. It turns out that Saint Benedict, in his rule, in his community, had no idea about this, but he provided the actual structure which kept Europe going during the Dark Ages. When government fell apart, when society fell apart, it was those monasteries that preserved culture and language and learning. It was those monasteries that became the places people went to be treated for illness. It was those monasteries which trained the future leaders